Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
With age comes an expectation of wisdom. In the national debate over the legalization of marijuana, there seems to be large support from older people for the legalization of marijuana across the nation. If the old does not direct the young with prudence and understanding, then what hope is there for the young to live to get old? This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and tonight we hope to engage one of our listening audience members, Mr. Pianki, out of St. Louis, Missouri, in a healthy debate on should marijuana be legalized or remain illegal. To that end, I will begin with our monologue, and I expect Mr. Pianki to be joining us soon here, and we will give him an opportunity to provide his position and offer some evidence. But as always, we will continue to offer some factual basis of information or context for the conversation that we're having with you. And I'd like to encourage you to go behind us and check our references as we provide the cons against the legalization of marijuana. Should marijuana be legalized or remain illegal? Again, let me just back up and say that the number here for you to call is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. You can call us live here on air for the next hour and a half or so. We'll be happy to entertain your question, your comment, and your participation. All righty. Having said that, we will begin with our monologue. Genesis, the first chapter, the 29th verse reads, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." This word meat in translation means food or for your physical nourishment. This is the purpose of herbs or vegetation that is to be ingested by the body according to the creator of the universe. Now let's give a little historical background on control of individuals and what the purpose and motivation for controlling people may be. In 1712, a contract slave trainer by the name of Willie Lynch taught slave owners in America how to psychologically program human beings of African descent that were brought to America in the context of slavery, in order for them to become perpetually controlled as servants to the will of their captors. One principle he shared related to offering up social, emotionally driven distractions, behaviors. And he suggested that if you use this method, you can confuse and cause these people and all of their descendants for years and decades and centuries to come to be misguided and messed up, and therefore under your control. The following quote was included in Willie Lynch's letter in 1712. Our experts warn, quote, us about the possibility of this phenomenon occurring. For they say the mind has a strong drive to correct and recorrect itself over a period of time, if it can touch substantial original historical base. And they advise us that the best way to deal with the phenomenon is to shave off the brute's mental history and create a multiplicity of phenomena of illusions, that each illusion will twirl in its own orbit cycle, something similar to floating balls in a vacuum. Hence, when we look at the condition of young people today, particularly those who fight for the opportunity to engage in illicit drugs, there's similarity and parallel. The human consumption of cannabis, aka marijuana, dates back as far as the 3rd millennium BCE. Reportedly, charred cannabis seeds were found in a ritual brazier at an ancient burial site in present-day Romania. The earliest written reference to cannabis dates back to 2727 BC from the Chinese Emperor Shennong, and it is indigenous to Central and South Asia. In other words, that's where it originates from. In his book, Hemp, American History Revisit, Robert Deitch reports that the decree of King James I in 1619, the Virginia Company enacted the decree asking Jamestown landowners to grow and export 100 hemp plants. Hemp is another reference to marijuana, to help support England's economic cause in the so-called New World we now call America. According to David Musto, in his book, The American Disease, Origins of Narcotic Control, the Pure Food and Drug Act was passed by the United States Congress in 1906 and required that certain special drugs, including cannabis, be accurately labeled with contents. Previously, many drugs had been sold patent medicines with secret ingredients or misleading labels. They used to call them snake oils. People come to town selling you this and selling you that, telling it's going to make you feel better. It's going to lift you up. Now let's talk about the chemical makeup formally. And I say all of this because I want our listening audience to understand where I'm coming from when I speak against the idea of the legalization of cannabis. It's commonly known as marijuana, as I mentioned previously, and by slang terms, weed, ganja, hash, or bo-weed. It is a psychoactive drug from the cannabis plant, often used for medicinal or medical purposes under certain circumstances, but more frequently for recreational use. The main psychoactive part of cannabis is called tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC. It's one of 483 known compounds in that plant, including at least 65 other cannabinoids. Cannabis can be used by smoking it, vaporization, or even within your food, or used as an extract. Its use generally begins in the teenage years, interestingly enough, and is act as a gateway to harder drugs such as cocaine and heroin, just to name a couple. Now, I want to talk to you about the effects of cannabis on the brain. Cannabis is often used for its mental and physical effects, such as what's known as a high, quote unquote, or a, quote, stoned, end quote, feeling. A general change in perception, euphoria, this heightened mood, and an increase in your appetite. Onset effects is within minutes when smoked, and about 30 to 60 minutes when cooked or eaten. It lasts for between 2 and 6 hours. Short-term side effects may include a decrease in short-term memory, having a dry mouth, impaired motor skills, having red eyes, and feelings of paranoia or anxiety. I know y'all have seen this before, largely with old and too many young people in the streets. Long-term side effects may include addiction, decreased mental ability in those who start as early as teenagers, and behavioral problems in children whose mothers who use cannabis during their pregnancy. Evidence have shown that. Studies have found a strong relation between cannabis use and the risk of psychosis, in other words, having psychological problems, though the cause and effect continues to be the basis of debate. Now, lastly, I want to talk to you about the social effects of this drug. In his book, Still High, author Ricky Waller shared his first experiences with drugs. He states, "When I first began experimenting with marijuana, it gave me and my friends a sense of joy. Sometimes we would choke from inhaling the smoke, and this brought forth excitement. We thought we had it going on, but this was only a setup from the enemy. The trap always did glorify or glamorize the look," end quote. Research from a national nonprofit organization that works to provide treatment and support for youth who are addicted to marijuana and other drugs for over the last 50 years, the Phoenix House. They report that marijuana impairs learning, individuals' judgment, and memory. All of these are vital attributes that teenagers need, especially in school. It can do lasting harm to the still-developing young brain, disrupting normal development of the white matter that brain cells need to communicate with each other, thus hampering the user's ability to reason. Most recently, researchers have found marijuana responsible for long-term changes in working memory, or the brain structures critical to ready recall, basic information, things like remembering telephone numbers, and bringing solution to everyday problems. It's likely that most teens will try smoking marijuana socially at some point in their adolescent years. Finally, to legalize an action is to make it acceptable by authorization or to approve of it by sanction. I would warn that there is an inherent danger in encouraging young and developing minds to clinch a mentality of engaging in risky, detrimental, or self-destructive behavior. Moreover, whenever society, be it the government, parents, or individuals of influence, suggests to its youth that the exploration with life-altering substances is in any way possible or permissible, that set them up for grave physical and social consequences. I want to make sure that we are fair and we're balanced in our discussion. And I believe we have Mr. Bianchi on from St. Louis. And let me introduce him or give him an opportunity to tell you as much as he would like to about himself. We also have our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, who is the author of the book I discussed earlier, one of the references I discussed earlier. And I'm happy to have him on because we're working together in our effort to move around to these various cities and address a number of issues. But let me stop now. The number is 657-330-944. And let me welcome you, Mr. Bianchi. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Great, great, great. You heard my monologue. I want to offer you an opportunity. You were going to give us the pros for the legalization of marijuana, and I want to give you the floor to offer your evidentiary basis for your position there.
Well, first, marijuana is legalized in what, about 25 states or more.
Mm-hmm.
At a state level, it's still criminalized at a federal level.
Right.
And I don't use marijuana, never have. My pretension is that I believe that all street drugs should be legalized. And one of the reasons is because it removes the violence of street sales and distribution. According to Business Insider, in an article that they published back in April of 2015, it states that there's 21 medical benefits of marijuana. And the whole idea that we see as far as incarceration, not only of marijuana but any other drug, you're locking up two people. You're locking up addicts who are sick, and you're locking up people who's dealing in these drugs from a financial standpoint. And that causes a lot of other problems on society, especially with the cost of them being incarcerated. And then you got the other effect that black complains about. They're the ones that's getting incarcerated. And the effect that that caused, not only in the family, the relatives, and also society itself. So I think that the effects that we see and also the benefits that are being reported from helping people with strokes, pain, arthritis, Alzheimer's diseases, athletes who play contact sports, and seizures, and a whole host of other reasons. I think that in this particular case, marijuana, it does more benefits than it does harm. But even any other consumable can do harm if it is not taken in proportion. And we see it with a lot of things.
Okay. So I take your point that there are bona fide medicinal purposes for the use of marijuana under controlled conditions with a trained, licensed physician or clinician. Okay? I get that.
I'm not saying that. I didn't say that. I don't think that a physician has to come and play in all cases. I think that a person who's suffering from pain or arthritis, they know when the pain goes away. So they don't have to have any medical attention, no contact with a doctor.
I understand what you're saying, but what I was saying is that you were saying that this article you cited, you referenced, it identified...
Yeah, Business Insider.
Right. It identified that it is used for medicinal purposes. That's what I was speaking to.
And the medical benefits.
Correct. That's what I'm speaking to. I'm saying that I recognize that, in fact, marijuana or the cannabis plant or derivative of it is used in control settings for medicinal purposes. I recognize that. I also recognize that the after effect is that addicts of it, as well as the dealers, find themselves incarcerated and things of that nature. So I take that point. What I don't understand from your position is, while all that is true, given the fact that you were not born needing this, and you at some point later in your life came on to take it on, why is that necessary? Now, you're saying you should legalize it to make it easier. Once you legalize it, the law says it's okay, it's acceptable, and it's even good for you to involve or engage yourself in the practice or use thereof. Is that
well?
Understand you correctly?
Well, let's look at this. You know, you were born with all the rights in the world to participate, however, to whatever extent, with anything. It's when local government, states, and federal government makes laws that protects, that takes away those rights. That's where the Constitution comes into place. Before marijuana was criminalized, it was not criminalized. People used it however they wanted and have been doing so for, you know, ages, millennia. Now they put a criminal element to it, and you see the results of that. No, I think that the addict is going to be an addict. I think that if you legalize drugs, period, you will be able to put a tax on those drugs, just like you do with alcohol, and then you would be able to provide, if you so wish, a community, provide treatment for those addicts, just like they have the same treatment that's available for people who indulge in too much alcohol consumption.
Hold on 1 second. Let me understand you. So you're saying that you make it legal and easy legally for you to engage, then you turn around and provide you treatment to get you off of it. Why would you encourage at the beginning to start it in the first place then if you're going to treat them to get off of it? That's what I don't
Well, understand. Nobody's encouraging people to get on anything. Alcohol is legal. I don't drink.
Right.
Gambling is legal. I don't gamble. Prostitution is legal. I don't deal with prostitutes.
Well,
but there are people that do.
Not here in America.
Prostitution is legal.
Where?
Prostitution is legal in Nevada.
Okay, one or two states. That's correct. Okay, all right. But federally, is it legal?
Well, yes. Prostitution is legal in the state of Nevada. I don't know of any federal crime for a woman selling her body. Those are usually local ordinances and state laws that govern that. Now criminalize
okay.
that.
All right, we're not even talking about prostitution right now directly. We are talking about marijuana, though. Let's stay focused on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let me be clear that my whole point here, and I'm really focusing on young people, because I think old people have a right to do what they want to, and I don't have any business trying to stop them. But I have committed myself to helping save the generation that's behind me and younger folk. That's my primary focus and purpose. And so that's why I even deal with it myself, but because I believe they don't really understand the nuances here. And they don't understand that this is not something you have to start, so you wouldn't have to stop it. Now, Pastor Wallace is here with me, and I have him because he is a authentic reference to what we're talking about. In the book that I referenced from him, he actually talks about his experience not only as a drug dealer, someone who went to jail, but also someone who used his product and seeing how it affects people. Pastor Wally, if you don't mind, will you speak to that just for a second, sir?
Yes. How you doing, Pastor Dockery? And the brother that's on the call,
Pianchi.
I wanted to say. Mr. Who?
Pianchi.
Yes. Say it again.
Pianchi. Yeah, my name is Pianchi.
Pianchi? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how you're doing, man. And thank you.
Doing fine.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in. And I did understand, you know, I was hearing you talking about marijuana, And the thing is that marijuana, it is a powerful drug within itself. Anytime a person can become addicted, and I think I heard you say about addicts, I personally had a chance to smoke marijuana, you know, in my growing up. And I discovered that I became addicted to marijuana. And I know that is illegal in some places. I'm sure that I heard you say that it wasn't in other areas. But let me explain something to you about getting high, period. It can lead into another form of getting high, not only on marijuana. The next thing I knew, I found out I was on heroin. And it all started out by basically taking actually a drink. But let me explain. I had on page 10, I even see here at the top, the first paragraph here, it says, I was more into marijuana than I was drinking. And I really enjoyed it. Pretty soon, it was always on the agenda when we left the gym. I mean, look, kids growing up, it made me feel relaxed. It gave me a feeling of peace. It made me laugh, and almost everything was funny. It also gave me the munchies. Look at all the things that it's doing with me now. Before we knew it, smoking marijuana became a lifestyle for us. We wanted it every day. And when something have a grip on you like that, and you saying that it is illegal, and of course, you know, some people want to try getting high, and just so happened, it happened to me. And this is how the trap sets people up like myself and someone who never have done it before. And the next thing I discovered is this. We continue on this path of getting high while listening to music. You know, there's a song by Rick James talking about passing the joint. You know, it's exciting to just hear things like that. And so all these things started to take place. And then suddenly, I want you to listen to this part here. Suddenly, I became addicted to heroin. It didn't start out on heroin, but I ended up on heroin. And the reason why I wanted to make it short about what I'm about to say, there is a high that a person can be on. It's called freedom from any drug. And the reason why I want to put emphasis on it, because I wrote a book entitled Still High, meaning that marijuana is not on the agenda, cocaine is not on the agenda, heroin is not on the agenda. It doesn't matter what kind of laws that they make. If a person ever understands that it's a high that's instilled in you and a high that's established, a high that won't cause no one to be able to incarcerate you, it don't cost you any money. It's called freedom from any drug. That's the greatest high of them all. And what I like most about it, it lasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, man, 365 days a year, and it could last a lifetime. That's a generation of kids that don't need to, say, legalize it, you know, because once it become legal, you can become addicted to it. And if you don't want to do it today, but if you're addicted, you got to do it, no matter whether it's legal or illegal. So my point is not about it being legal or illegal. My point is that it can become addicted. And when you become addicted to something, it may not just stay marijuana. It could be just like me, went to the next segment, and all of a sudden I became the dealer of my community. I corrupted my whole community with drugs as a result of being trapped. All it is a trap. So, you know, I just want to encourage anyone that haven't tried drugs to not try it. And if you have tried, I encourage you to get this book because it'll teach you a plan of how to get free and how to be able to live life and enjoy life and don't have to put no drugs in your system, man. I mean, so that's where I'm at. I'm just glad to be free from the drugs because it did control my life for many, many years. And also, I put a lot of people in harm because of what I was doing. You know, a lot of people got in the trap along with me. They, too, became addicted. So it wasn't just me that became addicted. They, too, became addicted and went to a harder drug after trying marijuana. Okay, and I just wanted to share it.
All right.
Well,
the number is 657-383-0944. You can go ahead and get in and call. We're with Mr. Pianchi. He's speaking with us tonight in this conversation about legalizing marijuana. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead and give your response.
Well, first, let me say it again. I don't use marijuana, never have, or any other substance that's classified. But man gave marijuana the title of being a drug and also made it illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, marijuana is a herb. It's spelled out, and I'm not a biblical person, it's spelled out in Genesis 1 and 29.
I may rest it in my monologue.
And there's also other herbs out here in nature that will intoxicate you or, quote-unquote, give you a high. You mean animals even get a hold of them. You know, you see on YouTube where monkeys get a hold of a certain herb and they eat it, and they certain leaves and so on and so on and so on. So these are natural products. And as I said before, if nature made them, and nature made them for a purpose, and man has been using marijuana for all sorts of reasons throughout the history of time, and
mm-hmm.
I think they should have a perfect right to do so. I don't think that they should be criminalized and locked up and put in jail and
okay.
disrupting families and destroying livelihoods.
Now, is the law or would the government be disrupting lives and families, or would the people engaged in the behavior be doing that?
It's the government, it's the authorities from man-made laws that have
that make them
put,
engaged,
criminalized
them
this. Yeah, no,
okay.
It criminalized people who uses these substances, and I think that is wrong. Now, the states where they are legal.
Hold on 1 second. Let's talk about something else in parallel that is criminal. It's criminal for you or me to go outside and take a gun and rob somebody of their goods or their material goods. That's criminal for a reason, and that is for safety purposes, so that the other person don't come back with their gun and we have the Wild Wild West. So those laws are useful and meaningful to keep peace and harmony in society. Likewise, these drugs that we in my monologue, I identified many of the adverse effects, largely when they're at work. They don't display good soft skills at work because they're lethargic. Their eyes are red, and they're unable to function. They want to go lay down. You know, you can't be productive even in school, and it damages the brain. Why would we not discourage interaction with that, as opposed to if we do that right, then we won't have to have a law, really, a parent.
Well, you know, you're bringing out certain cases. Professional football players use marijuana, and they are some of the greatest athletes in the world, and they perform very, very well, highly skillful at what they do.
Now, you said all
now,
of them do?
I don't know how many do. I say, well, just like you made comment that you got people whose eyes are red and act in a certain manner while they're at work. That's not everybody.
That's not everybody, but those that are, they tend to lose their job or not function very well on the job.
Well, then they
right?
then like jobs like, you know, in my profession, you have to take drug tests. If you fail a drug
that's
test,
right.
certain jobs you don't work on. I think that's the way it should be. If a person wants to expose themselves to those things that would deny them of opportunity, that's them.
Hmm.
That is them.
Now,
they are harming themselves.
You're right.
Right.
That's
just
what I'm saying. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor, right quick.
I'm getting ready to come in right there, if you will. I was doing heroin, but I still played basketball.
Yeah, but you didn't play professional basketball, did you?
No. Listen to what I'm saying. I was on heroin, and I played basketball. I mean, if you get the book of mine, you will see the type of ball that I played. And this is a humble way of saying this. I was pretty good with it and was highly addicted, you understand? And this is the thing. I heard you all talking about the youth, and if you will, I'd like to share something about that. You know, it's amazing how powerful these drugs really are and what it's doing to people. And I myself personally have my experience with it. That's the reason why, again, I like to just step in for a second. I was unaware that I was in a trap, because that's what it is. And I did not comprehend the things that drugs would do to me or the price I would have to pay. Let's just say I was robbed from my youth. In other words, if I put a trap there before you, you don't have to run into it. But if you do run into it, or if you slip into it, or if you fall into it, or someone encourages you into it, you're trapped, like it or not.
Right.
Now then, somebody may try and don't like it. I tried drinking, and I didn't like it. It made my head spin. I talked about that.
Okay.
I drank a can of Coke 45, and my friends, them, they kept drinking it because they liked it. But I didn't. But what I am saying is that once I took a hit of marijuana, I liked it. I wanted it every day. And it went into another segment, and it's what I'm saying about getting high, not talking about whether it sent you to prison or not. I'm saying the drug is an addiction when a person becomes captured, and it's nothing.
Well,
according to my friends now, all of my friends became addicted. Some was killed, some in the penitentiary, some are still out there right now as a result of starting, taking that first hit. So you never took a hit. Praise God that you didn't. And don't start now. I would encourage you to, because you're already
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you have written a book and you're sort of promoting that book, because you are referring to your own life experiences. But that's just you. I know people who smoke marijuana and don't have those problems. And as I said before, you got professional football players that play in the NFL, and they use marijuana because it helps them endure the ravages of the sport that they play. I hired iron workers, the people that work 300 feet in the air. Some of them smoke marijuana, and none of them fell off the iron, off the building. So just like anything, some things affect people in a particular way, and some things don't affect them whatsoever. It does not impair their ability to function as anyone else. Matter of fact, in some cases, you don't even know that they are indulging in using an herb.
Okay, I understand that. Now, listen to what you said. Now, some people, you're right. Now, I say in my community where I grew up at, amongst my peers, all of us who indulged in it became captured. Now, I don't know if it's the same in Chicago, New York, but from my experience, I know some people that I was affiliated with that's from up that way, and they was addicted to the same drug I was addicted to down here. Go ahead.
Pastor, let me add this to what you're saying, Ms. Bianchi. And also, there's a national organization that I made reference to that deals with this type of thing nationally, all over America. They've documented quite well how the same effects permeate major urban cities where this is a major practice and activity. Now, perhaps those individuals you know are unique. But
they're not unique. They're human beings. You got in the country of Jamaica, they use marijuana, and for all sorts of reasons. You know, just to name that one.
Right.
Marijuana has been found in the mummies that date back 10,000 years ago.
Let's be clear. I'm not suggesting that it does not have application, that it has not been used. I mentioned that in my monologue. It goes all the way back to the 3rd century BCE and the Qing dynasty in China. We realize that. We know that.
It goes back further than that. It goes back to 10,000 years during the Shimshu Heru priest. But what I'm saying is this. You got 23 states where the people came out and said that's what they want.
Yes.
And you can't take that away from them. These are adults of voting age. They use their suffrage to come out and vote and say this is what we want. They're sovereign states.
Let me ask you,
leave us alone.
Let me ask you a question. how practical is it for those who want to engage in other federal criminal activities to say we got a right to do just like those who use marijuana, and we're going to come together, we're going to vote and make a law and push that to where it becomes law? How dangerous
it depends,
is that? On
it depends. Well, it's not dangerous. It's dangerous, as I said before. It's more danger involved when you criminalize a thing. When you tell, for instance, it's like I said, with drugs, period, street drugs, period. You got innocent people that's getting caught up in the activity, losing their lives, being terrorized, and so on and so on and so on, having your cash seized from you in these drug interventions. And so, that there is devastating. It's the same way it was back with the prohibition of alcohol. A lot of violence came along with that. When alcohol was legalized, that violence, I don't see anybody standing on the corner shooting at one another over a bottle of Jack Daniels because it's illegal.
Okay. And so, but you do see those same people shooting at one another as a result of being inebriated and being shot. No?
As being what, sir?
They shooting at one another and being shot, robbing and stealing, many of them, to get the alcohol as well as other drugs. You do
I don't
see that, right?
No, I don't. Not on alcohol.
You don't. Oh, you don't see it. Okay, I see.
No,
I see. I
not around
I
here.
Mean, it sounds, the, well, it
that type
like
of activity had to do with street drugs.
Well, what I'm saying to you is there is a codependency and there's a dual diagnosis for individuals who engage in psychosis psychologically, as well as their inducement or use of drugs and alcohol. Usually they come together hand in hand. Now, and I'm speaking again from my experience as someone who worked in such a facility, as well as the research that backs all of that up on a national level. Perhaps in your circle, people you know and those that you know of, they are unique. But this is a problem across America, my friend. And all I'm saying is if you don't get started, you don't have to stop. And if we focus on making sure that in addition to saying there's a problem with it, it's illegal, it's not acceptable, we're going to encourage parents, preachers, family members, community members, whoever you are, to tell young people in particular, don't even start.
Well, I can understand. Well, the laws protect the innocence of a child, but people have constitutional protections that get involved with whatever it is that they want to. That's legal, as long as you're not violating another person's civil rights. You can discriminate, you can segregate, you can be prejudiced, just so long. You can be a racist, as long as you don't violate another citizen's civil rights.
I see. Okay. All right. So one of the things that I wanted to point out, and I want to use some of the James Brown had a song that he made, I think it was in 69 or 70. And what has happened, gentlemen, is that the use of drugs and alcohol has been made glorified. It's been made sexy, and it's been made hip. To where people now feel like this is my self-efficacy, this is my identity, that makes me somebody when I engage in this. And if y'all, just for a second, what I want to do for this segment here is I want to play a couple of small clips from James Brown and have some conversation with you about it, because I think this is related to the motivation to get started. Now, he's talking about King Harold here. If y'all just bear with me for about a few seconds here.
I came to this country without a passport. Ever since then, I've been hunted and sought. My little white greens are nothing but waste, soft and deadly, and bitter to taste. But I'm a world of power, and all know it's true. Use me once, and you'll know it too. I can make a mere schoolboy forget his books. I can make a world-famous beauty neglect her looks. I can make a good man forsake his wife, send a greedy man to prison for the rest of his life. I can make a man forsake his country and flag. make a girl sell her body for $5 bags. Some think my adventure's a joy and a thrill, but I'll put a gun in your hand and make you trouble.
If you're listening to what he's saying, he's talking about the powerful effect on people who, if they never started, they wouldn't get caught up in
yes,
the game.
Yes, man, goodness. Well, that's a witness there.
Well, he made something as far as patriotism. During Vietnam, soldiers on the field used marijuana.
My brother
and they
did.
Fought very hard.
My brother did.
So you know, people say things in which they got a right to do in order to make a profit off of it. He's selling records.
Well, he was telling the truth though, Brother Piazza. He was telling the truth.
Yeah, he's telling one side of it. If you got people who are fighting and fighting better because they're using that herb, then why not tell that side of the story too?
Because
you're saying functional drug addicts, functional people that's, because I heard you say people
right.
that you know, they're functional drug addicts, right?
Right.
And I think that's appropriate to put it in that.
No, I'm not.
You know?
Well, we're talking about marijuana.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't call marijuana a drug. I call marijuana what it is. It's an herb.
Well, see, a drug is a drug. I mean, why would they call it a drug if it's not no longer a drug now?
Because they wanted to criminalize it.
Okay, but so in other words, since it's criminalized, okay, they criminalize it, so why not just stay free from all of it? And
for millennia, for millennia in the history of the world, for millennia in the history of mankind, it was not called a drug.
Okay, it's just recently been
called a drug.
Well, so why do they label these things after they have experience with them? Why do they label them, Ms. Bianchi? What's the purpose of doing that?
They label it a drug in order to justify putting people within a criminal justice system when they break one of the rules that's applied to this particular herb.
Okay. All right.
The same thing applied to cigarettes at one time.
Okay. So how possible is it that they do this because they see a adverse effect on human beings with this particular natural substance that comes from the earth? Just like poison ivy. Poison ivy is a natural what? Plant. And if you leave it alone, it won't bubble your face up. You leave it alone, it won't get all over you and mess you up, right? It has its place. And what I'm saying is that you're right. Through millennia, cannabis has been around. But there is
Well, you know what? You mentioned poison. Poison ivy don't bother me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't have those biological or physical effects from coming in contact with poison ivy. A lot of other people don't either.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, you're a unique guy. You're a very unique gentleman.
No, I'm not unique. I'm not unique. Don't label me like that. Some things bother some people. Some things don't bother people.
I see. Well, I hear what you're saying. I take your position on that. And you know, obviously you have a basis for that. So I'm not going to try to take that away from you because that's where you are, and I respect that.
You're talking about marijuana right now, right? And
yes,
I said,
we're talking about it as a gateway to other drugs.
I used to love marijuana. Remember, I said I used to love marijuana, and then I got off the drugs as a whole. But the thought of knowing that I can go back and start all over again, take one hit of marijuana, you know, and start liking it as if I never had it before, and then I wonder would I not be addicted to it versus, you know, trying it and doing it all over again, and the next thing I know I'm on them hard drugs again. So if marijuana was such a joyful thing to me from my experience, believe me, man, I would definitely go back to it because I know how I felt when I was on marijuana back then. It's just amazing. It's just amazing knowing that I can be free from any drug, man, and that's where I'm at. So I don't know about other people concerning marijuana. But I do know some people really do love marijuana, and they smoke it, you know, and love to smoke it. But again, maybe that's all they do is smoke marijuana. My personal extremes with it caused me to go to other drugs. And so I just think it's just freedom from active addiction is a plus to me.
Well, you know, here's the thing. From Minnesota, out of North Dakota, in Montana, all the way down to Florida, Louisiana, and Arkansas, marijuana is broadly legal in those states.
Yeah.
In the northeast corner of Maine and in Massachusetts, which is highly liberal states, it's legalized for recreational use. So those people in those states said, this is what we want. And that, and see, I'm for states' rights. Because if I'm living in a state that denies me the opportunity to enjoy something that I do, like, for instance, guns. I'm a gun advocate. I wouldn't live in Illinois because Illinois is anti-gun.
Okay. But now to your point, Tianqi, each of those states that you spoke of, it's been well documented the adverse effects of the legalization of the cannabis plant or the marijuana to be used recreationally. Oftentimes what that does is it leads to the overdose or misuse, and there are well-documented effects to that. But I wonder, Charles...
Well, as much as you document negative, there's people who can document positive.
Not me, sir. I didn't.
Well, no, as I just got through telling you, there's people who benefit from all sorts of medical problems, from Alzheimer's, arthritis, and seizures in those states that can come forward and probably more so on the negative than the negative side and pro their position for the legalization of the drug in their state.
Well, you'll recall at the beginning of our conversation, I acknowledged that there were proper medicinal purposes for its use. You'll recall that.
Well, in the states I mentioned, Maine and Massachusetts, they use it as recreation. It's legal for recreational use.
Exactly. And I resubmit to you again that when it those, particularly those that use it for recreational purposes, there is a huge misuse, overdose, leading to the negative effect. But so, yes, we're saying the same thing.
And there's also a huge non what you just mentioned. So we have to be fair with these things. Probably outweighs the bad. If California and Nevada and Washington State and Oregon was experiencing more negative effects than the positives from them legalizing for recreation use marijuana, then they have enough intelligence, enough worry about themselves, and also enough responsibility to make some changes.
Well, I noticed that despite the fact that all of the data nationally suggests to those states that there is a problem there, the legislatures and the will of the people is opposed to the data and the science. I would submit that to you. But that's the way
it is. It's probably some fake data.
Say that again?
It's probably some fake data.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, let me do this. I got Charles on the line. He's a young man, and he's been following our conversation. I would like to play this other small clip from James Brown and ask Charles a question and hopefully get you to engage him in that conversation. Give me one second here.
Instead of bandbags, I found my way to heads of state, to children's play. I finance in China, ran in Japan. I'm respected in Turkey, and I'm legal in Siam. I take my addicts and make them steal, borrow, beg. Then they search for a vein in the arm of the lady. So be you Italian, Jewish, black, or Mex. I can make the most virile of men forget their sex.
Brother Charles, as a young man in America today, how healthy do you think it is for an adult, someone who is looked to as a positive influence, who's lived life, how healthy is it for them to suggest in any way that you should experiment with a mind-altering substance? So, Charles.
Well, I'm here. I've been a positive leader, most definitely, because even though people can use it from different reasons, But the message is everybody's not the same far as in strength-wise. Now, you know, if you encourage somebody to use a drug that's not strong enough, then it can be detrimental.
That's me. Definitely.
Let me ask you a question then, Charles, as a follow-up, and then I'll have let Bianchi respond. How much bleach does it take for you to die? How much bleach does it take you to drink to die?
Just a little bit. I mean, just a small ingestion.
And why would you even drink bleach? What would be a reason to even want to drink bleach? I know there are people who, believe me, they use antifreeze and everything else, as well as the chemical substance for bleach. But why would you even want to do that? What is normal about that at all?
Not good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know why anybody would want to use bleach.
Okay. Okay.
It's for another
reason. You want to respond to that, Mr. Bianchi?
Well, first I want to respond to James Brown. James Brown used to beat women. Was he on drugs or was he drinking alcohol? Tammy Ray, his wife,
uh-huh,
is reportedly saying that he would be drunk from drinking legal alcohol.
Can I tell you something?
That's his wife.
Right. I don't mean to be rude, but James Brown was interviewed. I have a copy of that live interview where he said he ruined his life by using coke, heroin, marijuana, all kinds of alcohol, and mixing all of it sometime at the same time. He said he was stoned out of his mind.
Well,
that.
Then,
right.
But neither you nor me encouraged him to do that. He did that because wanted to.
But he is a good example and a lesson for why others should not.
Well, you're right. They should not abuse any substance whatsoever.
Right.
You shouldn't abuse Coca-Cola.
Right.
Hey, Pastor, let me ask you something, man. I heard you say something about drinking some, that was the bleach.
Bleach, yes.
Okay, now let me use this for an example right here. Because you're talking about the drug period now. You know, you're talking about being able to see someone overdose off of a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And that same drug that I've seen someone overdose off of, guess what I would do after I see him overdose? I still
What's
would
that?
Do it. I still would do the drug. Together.
Say what?
Because the insanity of it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
This man just OD'd off of this drug. That's the very drug we wanted.
Right.
That's the very drug we wanted. Anybody I was affiliated with, they wanted that heroin. Where did that come
what
from?
What kind of childhood did you have?
What kind of childhood? What did that have to do with me being captured by the drug? The drug is what captured me, not my childhood. The drug is, I came up in a
childhood where I had things to do other than get involved in negative things. I was just wondering what kind of childhood you have, what kind of family you came from.
Well,
you don't have to talk about that. I was just curious.
I came from a wonderful family, but I got caught in the trap, brother. And when I got caught in that trap, man, I'm telling you about a particular issue. Was just like drinking the bleach that was going to kill you. The heroin I just seen this person OD off of, that's the very drug that we wanted. It was the insanity of what we was captured into because it was a trap. It was that powerful.
Right.
You know,
and
so if we don't take that first hit, if you don't take that first hit, you won't get to the second. Go ahead.
Let me say this. Bro Bianchi, I grew up in the housing projects of Chicago, and my daddy was a preacher. But this trap that Pastor Wallace is talking about is real because when he and my parents separated, my mother separated, I got caught up on the street. And the first time I had somebody pass me a bottle of alcohol and some weed was when I started socially being exposed to this type of activity. Now, was that good? No, it was not. That was terrible, right? And this is why, based on experience, we can tell young folks, ain't nothing to it but destruction.
Well, I agree with you. You should tell young people a lot of things. You should tell them to stay in school. You should tell them to do their homework.
Yes,
you should tell them to learn how to read and so on.
Yes,
also,
sir.
Society itself should provide young people with a whole host of things to do.
Yes.
But when you have
yes.
young people that come from dysfunctional families, when you interview people that are in prisons because of whatever reason, in particular drug crimes, they seem to have a similar pattern. They come from a dysfunctional family, a one-parent family, and I mean, that's just the way they answer when they're surveyed.
You're right. And this is why we are coming the way we are with this conversation, because we understand this. And we understand the root cause and motivation for their behavior and engagement. And this is
But at the same time, you have to also remember this. You got children that don't come from those backgrounds.
This is
whatsoever.
True. And they get caught in the trap too. They get caught in the trap.
Well,
too.
If they do, they do, they do. But a lot of them do not. So just because you have some that come from the functional background, does that mean that you should penalize others who don't come from that sort of situation and do not experience those things?
Great question. Great question. Let me give you an example. There are college students that go away to school and they go find the dope dealer. They find the dope dealer. And many of them have either lost their life or got kicked out of school. And they came from what people would say is a healthy family environment. But guess what?
Yes,
the trap is real. The trap is real.
Yes.
And it's that illusion that'll get you stuck and caught in the trap. Somebody got to be straightforward and honest with them, talk straight with you about that, because it's real.
Well, you know, you got college students that take legalized medicines, drugs,
yeah,
to help keep them up so that they can study for their tests and ace their tests.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Let me do this. I talked about how it has been normalized, these behaviors and engagement in this. And I like what Pianki said, that there is a common thread between drug use and abuse and alcohol, and that's a lot of dysfunctionality. That's true. Why is it that culturally many people of the Afro-American experience in particular find themselves more than anyone else caught up in this behavior? Rick James made a song that got a lot of people happy. And this is one of the things in my growing up that I saw most people were motivated to start using marijuana. Listen to what Rick James said just for a few seconds. He's a good example. They were somebody when they can all identify with the words of Rick James, Mary Jane. Now,
I'm in love
this illusion led to many demise. And that's what I'm talking about right now, Rob Pianki. What we can
well,
do
you know,
with our... Go ahead.
I thought the record was talking about a girl myself.
Okay.
No, he's talking about...
So it did not affect everyone.
No, bro.
Wait,
no,
it did not affect everyone. Yeah, but it did not affect everyone. Didn't hear the same message that was in the song.
Come on, bro.
No, I'm telling you the truth. I thought Mary Jane was a female.
No, come on.
And realizing, okay,
look,
but you say his main thing. Now, the marijuana became his thing.
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to. This is the position I'm coming from.
Okay,
everyone, do not be affected by any one thing the same way.
Wow. That's very interesting. Now well, 1098 is on the line. This is an older brother too. What you think what you think Rick James was talking about 1098 when he was talking about Mary Jane?
Of course, marijuana. That's what Rick James was talking about. But I started smoking marijuana in 1975. I started smoking marijuana and drinking in 1971 at the age of 13, hanging out with the boys.
Wow.
Now, the type of effect that marijuana had on me throughout the years, you know, I was smoking marijuana, and then, one weekend, me and the guys, you know, got together, you know, we was drinking, we was smoking marijuana, dropped acid. Unknowingly, I had OD, but like I say, I didn't know it or realize it until years later. And I noticed after that, when I smoked marijuana, you know, it made my heart beat real rapidly. So I stopped. Which that night I prayed, I said, God, I said, if you let me leave, I'll never do it again. I was talking about the drug, which alcohol is a drug too. You know, see, it's a downer, you know, antidepressant, whatever. But continued to drink, but I stopped doing drugs at that point. I feel all drugs are good if they're used in the proper manner. You know, basically in the medical field concerning bleach, I saw white guys in prison drink bleach, call themselves trying to be the drug. I witnessed that. I didn't get caught up into the cocaine. When I came out of penitentiary in 1984, cocaine, you know, was on the scene, crack. My cousin offered me that. I told myself, look, man, you stay away from me for a long time. Because that's the wrong thing to be offering me, especially when I'm coming out of prison trying to get on my feet. I said, I know where you will be at in the next few years, where I come from. That's what happened. This is a good conversation. I respect what everyone say, and this is how we develop our thoughts. You know?
Absolutely,
so, yeah,
and I want to reiterate the fact that I appreciate Pianchi's position, and we invited him to come share that with us. Hopefully, someone will find this conversation instructive in nature, and I want the listening audience to think about it and you draw your own conclusion. And I want you. I definitely encourage you to go behind me and check the facts that I offer. And I encourage you to do likewise for Brother Pianchi. He mentioned an article, and he made reference to athletes and people of that nature. And check that out. You know, the truth of the matter is, though, this is my position and why I'm doing this show and why we're working to get around to each of these cities. And we want to be. We're planning to come to St. Louis there, Real Pianchi, as well, with the same message. And that is that we got good young people who find themselves misguided and under illusions, motivated and driven by things they don't even know is controlling them. And one of the main traps, let me finish this thought. One of the main traps is the social introduction to the gateway to the strongest of. And that is Mary Jane or marijuana. Go ahead, Brother Pianchi.
Well, I hear people say that they talk about the good young people, but there's no action that goes behind it. You know, at the University of Missouri, they made mention about black kids, black students who was carrying, you know, a 3.9 GPA, and they was sleeping in their cars and sleeping at the airport. So people say these things. It's easy for them, but there's no action. I think that attention should be given in the direction of those students that work hard, that do their work, do their homework, that study, and make their grade. That's where the attention should be given. Attention for those who would go astray, you know, those who want to care for them, let them provide what is needed to care for them. But don't take from those who are doing the right thing. I'm totally against that.
Okay. Question. You got a thug, gangbanger, hoodlum, drug dealer. Do you castigate them to the peripheries of society? Do you throw them away? Do you forget about them?
Well, you're going to either do one or two things. If you got a gangbanger who's violating the civil rights of American citizens, they should be dealt with. Now, you should deal with them to the greatest extent of the law.
So now
in this country,
it's okay to have a law to lock them up, domesticate them, incarcerate them for being a gangbanger. But when it
depends
comes to marijuana, people should be free to do what they want to do.
It depends on what that gangbanger is doing. If that gangbanger is doing something illegal, then they're going to be sought after and prosecuted.
That's how gangs survive, through illegal activity. Yes.
Well, they shouldn't have to. Well, if you had dispensaries in the city, dispensaries for all drugs, they could take on that business.
Interesting. I think Larry Hoover and Jeff Ford might agree with you. But I don't think that's ever going to happen, my friend.
Well, it has happened in some states. They have made dispensary. Matter of fact, some dispensaries are complaining that they're running out of supplies. The demand is higher than. Yeah.
I read that article. And the governor, I believe, is the one that said it's a state of emergency because they ran out of marijuana. That's amazing to me. But okay, that's the way it is.
Yeah, so these are opportunities. Up in the northeast, northwest, they can't find enough truck drivers to haul petroleum products. They were paying $80,000 a year.
Can I ask you a question? Who wants somebody
mm-hmm.
who's thrown out their mind on drugs to be behind a 18-wheeler?
Well, I'm saying because there are needs that are not being filled.
Okay. All right. Well, let me, Charles, I got another question for you, Charles, but give me a second. The whispers about a young lady who left home on her way to her grandmama's house. And let me.
It sounds like really Red Riding Hood.
And I want to ask Charles a question. Hold on one second. What's Little Red Riding Hood? Hold on one second. Charles, little pretty girl, minding her business, innocent, don't know about all these low-down, dirty things and these vultures out there looking for prey. She goes trying to go to grandmama's house. They hit her up, man, stick stuff in her arm, put stuff in her nose, cause her to snort, what have you, and before you know it, she out there lost and turned out, selling her body for the next trick.
Right.
Charles, how do we protect her, brother? How do we protect the child?
Good. Man, golly, that's a lot. It's a lot of abuse, man. It's a lot of misleadership.
Pretty deep, man.
Is that real, though, Charles? Is that going on today in 2017?
It's definitely going on. It's a different form of it. Cause they're still dating older guys. And yeah, and it's kind of about the same thing.
You understand what I'm trying to get at?
They already exposed now and graduated on drugs. Put the young one on the same level.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's what, Charles, excuse me for cutting you off. That's what the pimp does. He exploits the ignorance and innocence of young children, both male and female, and put them to work out there so he can turn a quick dollar. That's what we got to fight against, brother. That's who the enemy is. I don't care if you're black, green, or purple.
It all starts about the person.
Yeah, that's going on, but the different forms of it, same time, you gotta be careful with leadership.
You know why come a lot of this stuff goes on in the black community?
Explain.
Because you don't have no men in the black community like you used to.
Watch out, fiance. Say that again.
If men supposed to protect the community, supposed to protect the marketplace. And
okay,
you don't have
okay.
no black men. You got some males,
wow.
but you don't have no for
wow.
real men. Because, see, those type of individuals that's lurching, especially on children, they
mm-hmm.
would not
mm-hmm.
exist. They would not exist long if you had men in the community.
Watch out, brother.
Mm-hmm.
We on the same sheet of music right there, Brother Fionn. We in D flat
yeah.
right now. We in D flat
mm-hmm.
right now.
I mean, it's just like if your daughter... See, you supposed to investigate who your daughter is dating.
Woo-wee.
You supposed to do background checks on them. And
wow.
one thing you supposed to make perfectly clear to that male is this.
Mm.
Don't do
What's
nothing
that?
To my daughter that you don't want me to do to you.
Wow. Now, what about that 1098?
Well, I agree with that, but, you know, coming up in my time, you know, one such thing, background checked. I mean, you know, now the world is wide open, but I say this. I've been listening to the music and things of that nature, and it's great, but did you bring in Superfly? The world that he was in the bathtub, snorting his coke? You remember when you watch Superfly, you know, everybody, you know, a lot of guys want these fancy cars, you know, and they want to steal the drugs, and, you know, things of that nature. But, and let me tell you something about marijuana, you know, this medical marijuana that I have now. I was watching the news, I think, a few months ago, and there was a lot of people ending up in the emergency room for continuous vomiting. And, see, there was another main effect. That back in the 70s that marijuana had on me, you know, like I said, it gave me a rapid heartbeat, and not only that, it had me to the point to where I almost want to vomit. Now, this was back in the 70s. This is, 2017? And, you know, you got these different people have these permits to grow this marijuana, and people are going to the emergency room continuously vomiting. You know, can I get a take on that?
Yeah, that was a young lady. I'm trying to remember what state it was. She cooked some marijuana in brownies. Didn't know that the little baby was going to get them. The baby took them to school with her, show and tell, and share with the class, and got the whole class sick. The girl, the woman went to jail. Why? Because it was a misuse of something that has been said to be okay to be used. That's the danger. That's the danger that I speak of when I say it's dangerous to legalize, because you suggest to people whose minds are already weak and fickle that it's okay for them to explore and experiment with things they don't even know about. Before you know it, somebody is lost.
Well, the legalization has nothing to do with a child coming in contact, having the ability to come in access to something that would harm them. That parent was an irresponsible parent. Marijuana didn't have anything to do with it. It could have been a gun.
Wait a minute, bro. What the deal was, this is one of those states that it was legal now. And because
But it's not
it
legal
was,
for a child to have come in contact with it.
What I'm saying, sir, is this woman obviously didn't have no business being within 100 feet of marijuana, because she didn't know what the devil she was doing, because she didn't have enough sense to not keep her child to become a victim of it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, but
so,
what does marijuana got to do with the stupidity of an individual?
Well, because it allows them to have access to it, because it's become legal. It's over the counter now. Anybody can get it. Any fool can put it out there.
Well, I disagree with that, because if it was illegal, she still, and people do, because it's quite evident, because people in jail for having possession of marijuana. Yeah,
that's
so no,
right.
It was the individual. Something's wrong with her. She's not responsible.
Well, I agree with you. Something's wrong with it.
It's
something
like the woman that go off and leave kids in the house, and the house catch on fire, and the kids burn up.
Right. Or
but
children in the
question.
Car in the heat. Yes, go ahead right quickly. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. I see that 404-4727 is with us. I'm coming right to you, caller. Go ahead, 1098.
Okay, my question is this: concerning the policy and things of that nature, if they're going to legalize it, which the government comes in on a lot of stuff,
I'm quite sure that they can cultivate that plant to where that it will have less potency, but still people are going to abuse it just as well as they abuse alcohol. But if you have a recreational smoker, can it be, I'm quite sure that it can be developed to where it'll have less potency like alcohol. You have different levels of alcohol. You got the double digits and the triple digits.
I don't think you should even bother, period. I don't think you should bother, period. Okay. You shouldn't go off. You shouldn't play and dangle around on the edge of a 1,200-story building, play around, because you're going to likely fall, and that ground is going to catch you. Don't even play with certain things.
Right.
Let me get 404. Come on in, 404. Welcome to Talk Straight. Ruben Docker is your host here, and we got Pianchi as our special guest tonight.
How y'all doing, man?
Good,
discussion. This is an important one. The biggest thing is you got to have an education rollout on marijuana. Talk about what it is, what it does, what it doesn't do. Because some of the fear tactics from the just say no days have kind of bled into kind of old wives' tales, and we believe things that aren't true. Marijuana has a 13% addiction rate. Alcohol has a 23% addiction rate, and cigarettes, I believe, have a 19% addiction rate. So marijuana is nowhere near as dangerous as those two other things. And as Bianca just said, you would definitely have an age limit on it, because when you talk about the effects of marijuana or any type of, any type of thing that affects the brain, you'd be talking about development. So after someone is fully developed as an adult from, 16 to 18, as far as their brain chemistry is concerned, then there would be no problems with marijuana. So you just don't want young children having it and slowing their development. But the dangers of marijuana are really absurd. Like, there's no overdose effect. There's no effect of somebody having some type of long-term injury or anything like that from marijuana. It's actually very, very safe.
Hold on, real quick,
I want y'all to look up somebody tonight. Dr. Carl Hart, top drug scientist in this country. Look up him, and you'll get a lot of his work, him speaking before Congress and testifying and just talking about the effects of getting rid of some of these drug war tactics and how much the country would actually experience good outcomes from legalizing marijuana.
All right. I got 7 minutes here, so bear with me here. But I did want to say to you, I don't know if you heard my monologue, but I did offer some factual basis for the long-term effects of marijuana. Now, I'm not saying you have to accept that, but there is evidence out there, and there's over 50 years of research and engagement with individuals who've been affected long-term and continue to be. So I hear you. I hear your position. We welcome and recognize and respect your position. But I do want to reiterate the fact that there is well-documented evidence as well as personal experience. Some people on this panel tonight have had real-life experience. Have I got a witness, Pastor Walker?
Yeah, man. I didn't stop until I was 34, man. I'm glad I did, too. You know, and one of the things I like to say, let me say this right here, if you will. If you never take that first hit of it, you don't have to worry about how good it is, what it do for you, how bad it is. You want to do any of that. If you just don't take that first hit, that's a generation of kids will be able to escape just without taking that one hit.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
that's the childlike morality we're dealing with. People are smoking. Matter of fact, kids are actually buying those individualized cigars you see in stores now. From the 90s,
yes,
where kids started rolling blunts and cigarillos, because they are smoking. So the idea that this is a deterrent has proven to be false, and marijuana will be smoked. And the effects, those that so-called research you're talking about, I would suggest checking out Dr. Carl Hart, and you'll get the understanding that research is opposition research built to keep the drug laws in effect. Matter of fact, that's how the DEA keeps getting money. That's how the prison industrial complex keeps getting money. It's called opposition research.
All right. Well, we will. I've looked at quite a bit of the literature myself personally, and I'm familiar with who you're speaking of, and I appreciate his thesis. However, I do personally disagree with it, as well as some of the other research. But that's another story. Let me do this. We got 5 minutes, and the show will be over. And I wish we had more time, but maybe we'll do a part two here. I want to give James Brown part of the last word, because I think this is key. This is very key to understand the outcome of this engagement, starting with this gateway. And then we have a few seconds to wrap up the show here. after this.
So now, my man, you do your best to keep up your habits until you're arrested. Now the police are taking you. I'm under my wing. Do you expect to identify me? I who am king. Now, you must lie in that county jail. Well, I can't get to you by big lawmaker. So sworn with this conference. Wiggle and call. 6 days of madness. And you might throw me off. Touch me in name. Defy me in speech. But you pick me up right now. I will in your reach. All through your time, you become resolved to your fate. Hear not, young man or woman. I'll be waiting at the gate. And don't be afraid. Don't run. I'm not chasing. Sure, my name is Elvin. And you'll be back for a taste. Behold, you're hooked. Your foot is in the stirrup. And make hay, mount the steed, and ride him well. For the white horse of Elvin will ride you to hell. To hell. Will ride you to hell.
That's the thought I want to leave anyone who archives this show and those that are on the air live right now. This will lead you to no other place but to the grave. You can play with it if you want to, but it's real out here.
Yeah, if you're talking about heroin, yeah, not marijuana.
I'm talking about...
Well, heroin has its benefits also, so you see, we only want to scare people into doing how we want them to do, whether you tell them they're going to go to hell or any other thing like that. You also got to talk about the size of a substance that's very beneficial.
There's a medicinal side to it. It's used in hospitals in different ways, anesthesia and other things.
Can I get you to come back, Brother Bianchi? We're going to need to do a part two.
Well, I think talking on marijuana, my goodness, how much more are you going to try to ride this horse?
No, not marijuana. What I'm really talking about is the real enemy, and that's the motivation to deal with any of it. That's what I'm really. But if I understand, if you had enough, I understand. But for the sake of our listening audience, we're certainly going to answer those questions, and join us on our Facebook page, www.bfcinstitute.com. Go there and join us, and we're going to respond to a lot of these questions that we raised on our Facebook page. But I think
I can come back to you if you let me know. And I'm happy to hear Nodge. Nodge is a very knowledgeable person in many different areas, by the way.
I ain't through with Nodge either. I want to talk to you. You know I love you, Brother Nodge, don't you?
It's all good. Just know that if you're going to go after marijuana, the more sensible thing to do would be to go after alcohol and cigarettes, because those are the things that actually kill people, ruin lives, and everything else. But marijuana, one of the safest things we have out here. And the idea that they've done to it is make it into a turnstile to put black people in jail. Oh, sorry.
We're about to go off, but I ain't done with you. I'm going to get you back too, brother. I got some more for you too. Listen, thank you all for joining us. Thank you all for joining us. Our next episode is this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Thank you, Pastor Waller, 1098. We appreciate you. Our guest tonight, Brother Bianchi from St. Louis, Missouri. Appreciate you, brother.
Oh, yeah.
We look forward to engaging you a little bit further. And we sign off with that.
Bless God.